I want to invite Rabbi Uri to come up and join me. He's a flexible person, so I gave him about 10 minutes notice for what we might try to do. So here's your microphone. I've got my microphone. I had an idea that tonight we might talk to you together about some of the things that we really love about Sukkot, and maybe I'll start with a question. What good memories do you have about Sukkot, and what do you really like about this celebration?
Celebration?
Ras.
1, 2, 1, 2.
1, 2.
I'll interpret for you.
We will have new tradition in the Sukkot. We will, in synagogue, start speaking only Russian.
Хорошо.
It will protect from sins of our mouth, you know. I'm joking. I'm so glad to see you here. What great about Sukkot for my life? First of all, and most important in my life, during the Sukkot, 16 years ago, we had started congregation in Nikolaev, Ukraine. Yeah. Yeah. So, and this one of the best memory, I think, for my life, when we had great feast of Sukkot in big main hall in Nikolaev.
Hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yes, and you, Sandy, and also other rabbis and
yes.
ministers in Ukraine. And we started this congregational life. Really, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a great time. And you know, to start a congregation, you really need one person, the leader. And when Rabbi Uri was ready to step forward into this, the congregation was ready to begin. And so it was all timed around Sukkot. I think the first service was before that.
Yom Kippur.
What a time to start a congregation.
Yom Kippur. Everybody had, you know, fell before the Lord and forgive me.
Yeah.
And Sukkot, we start congregation, first meeting.
And it was a great celebration. It was a wonderful time and a time of real openness that many people had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I believe a couple thousand people was attend these holidays for, we have 2 days or feasts, I believe.
And there were some unusual healings, and God was just working in wonderful, wonderful ways.
You remember the sukkah we built in the stage?
Yes, I do. This was a sukkah that had not ever been built before, one like this. Can you describe it?
Only Lenin was built the same.
Yeah, Lenin's... Mm-hmm.
We asked one team, there was from one of church in Nikolaev, to build the sukkah. And we give instruction for them. So, and they just came and they said, think, why we need to build this kind of sukkah? It's not too much, you know, put this and that.
Yeah, why build it, you know, like upright?
You know, let's build this, it's much easier.
So they built like a triangular hut. It was sort of like a little...
Campus, yes.
Yeah.
Only one thing we need to put like some... You know, shoes. Somebody in the sukkah. Yeah. It was unusual, really unusual. But it was first time in Nikolaev, and for the first time, it was no problem.
It was no problem. That's right. You know, when in the former Soviet Union, you do anything for the first time, it can always be a surprise. It was a wonderful time. Only a few years, really, after everything was opened up, and yet there was a strong moving of the Holy Spirit and a lot of openness. And so there was a willingness to move forward. And as the Jewish people were coming into freedom as Jews and coming into freedom as Messianic Jews, believers in Yeshua, it was just so interesting to watch how all of that developed.
I remember, I think most impression what I had from the time, it's presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very great time. We had leadership meetings like Erev Shabbat meetings up to, I don't remember, 12, sometimes 1 of the night, people are gathering together, and we just don't want to go home and have time of fellowship, prayer together, so dancing before the Lord. It was very weird for some people, but very great in the Holy Spirit.
And very fresh, people were discovering a life with God, really for the first time. I have a memory also of being in Israel during Sukkot and noticing all the unusual ways that people would build a sukkah in their home, because many people, of course, live in apartments, and so they've got a balcony of some sort, and they construct something up there. That how many of you have been in Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles? A handful of us. Well, the rest of you don't know what you're missing. So it's really interesting to see the creativity. And then I remember being walking by King David Hotel, which is a luxury hotel, 5-star hotel, very famous and historical place in Jerusalem. And they had a sukkah for their guests that held, I don't know, 400 or 500 people, something like that. And so on one hand, you've got a ramshackle sukkah on the balcony. On the other hand, a sukkah that's so big, you just wonder, is it legal to make a sukkah that big? Really? It's a 5-star sukkah, yeah. 5-star, yeah. Let's talk about some of the scriptures that are important to us. What scriptures come to your mind?
Today I read the scripture from Exodus chapter 33, and I think that this is the main idea of Sukkot, really. One of the main and greatest things in the Bible, the scriptures. Exodus 33 from 13. Now, please, if it is really the case that I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways so that I will understand you and can continue finding favor in your sin. Moreover, keep on seeing this nation as your people. He answered, set your mind at rest. My presence will go with you after all. Interesting. In Russian, we have different translation. It's like, you will came to peace in the end. But I think this is more accurate. Set your mind in peace, because I am with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we, are so afraid. Where God? Where are you? Or what's happened with you? What will happen with me? And interesting answer to our people, to us. Set your mind at rest. My presence will go with you after all. Moshe replied, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't make us go on from here. It's interesting. This is one of my favorite places of scripture, and we can find it in many places in Torah, the same words. But this is, I think for Sukkot, this is one of the main idea, that God, please, be with us. You are our sukkah, you are our shelter.
Yes.
We live in you, Live in us, please. We are in our heart. We belong to you. And I remember when in Nikolaev, we had greatest memory. Come.
That.
We have greatest memory in Nikolaev. We have started our congregation during the Sukkot. And also we have difficult memories. Maybe remember Rabbi David when KGB began to attack us, and we had big holiday in Sukkot, and the next week we was throwing from the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just when I was sitting on my place and I heard what you were talking about, beginning of a congregation and how much it was exciting and how it was joyful and beautiful, and I began to think about moments what you begin to speak now, And I just want to tell you about one of the Sukkot, which we had in Nikolaev in our congregation. After this, some problem with, I don't know how to say, KGB or no?
KGB.
little bit different in Ukraine. But our congregation come to our place of our meetings. We come here, it was people who came here with their children, you know, with relatives. They come to celebrate Sukkot, as we now come here to this place. And when we wanted to enter the hall, to have a ministry, the director said to us that he will not allow us to come there. And we just was, you know, on the street. Yes. And it sounds strange, but it's true. And we tried to talk with him that, you know, here is people, we have service, we paid money, we need to have a service now. And he said, no, you know, because some important people told me that you couldn't come and to have service in this place because it was like college, yes, musical college. So, and we were at the street with all the people that come. And I remember the day very good. And you know, autumn in Ukraine, it's different from autumn here in Jacksonville. It's not so hot. But it was a wonderful day. I just want to tell you that autumn in Ukraine is very beautiful. Leaves on the trees, red and yellow, and air is fresh. And we were standing there at the street, and nobody went home, but we just standing and Yura began the service. And we begin it, you know, outside. Not because we wanted or because we had a beautiful sukkah there, no, but because we had no other way. And we begin to pray there and we begin to hear word of God and we begin to sing something. I don't remember about worship, but and one man in, you know, black suit all this time standing nearby this place. And but I remember this feeling, what I feel at that moment. You know, I understand how much we really depend from the Lord, really depend. So what you will do? Now you have now your place. And you really, we really had possibility to have experience. What does mean Sukkot?
Really?
What does mean Sukkot? What does mean to be faithful to the Lord in different situations of our life? And I remember this day. But believe me, it was also very nice. And it was nice not because we were outside, of course, but nice because we were as really mishpacha, as congregation, and we began to think that we must be ready to be faithful to the Lord in different situations on our life, not only when we have a beautiful place. And believe me, that hall in that college, it wasn't such beautiful as this. There was even no windows, you know. Yes. Just some light there, you know, not such beautiful. But at that Sukkot, we were outside. But we feel that we are depends from the Lord, and we celebrate it outside. And, you know, our congregation ready to celebrate Sukkot in different conditions, you know, in different situations. So we had such experience.
That's such a great experience of the real Sukkot. Thank you, Ina. One of the messages that God gave to Israel as he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt is, I'm going to actually lead you, and I'll give you my presence in several different ways, including the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. And the Lord said, whenever I start to move, You'll see me moving, and that's when you need to move. And that's what it means to be led by God. It means He actually leads you. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit also, that He will guide you, He will lead you, He will be with you, He will be beside you, inside of you, in front of you, behind you, taking you forward. And I love the scripture where God says, we're supposed to celebrate this holiday because He made us live in huts, in shacks, in booths, in temporary dwellings for 40 years in the wilderness. I know a lot of women here, you like to nest, you like to get everything just so. Can you imagine that your home was maybe not even a tent, maybe a wooden shack with branches to cover you by night, by day, you know? Something very temporary, very shabby. Can we say that? Shabby, not even shabby chic, just shabby. And the Lord says, I want you to remember that that's what I had you live in. And I think when you remember that, then when you have a moment like you guys had, like you were describing, Ina, where in a sense you have nowhere to gather, that's okay because the Lord is with you. And the question then is, so what do we do? And He showed you, outside will work. And so you can be the community, you can be the family, you can be the congregation, anywhere He leads you to go. You don't have to be limited by the buildings and the structures.
And also one of great, I think great lesson what we receive there, this is the lesson of our commitment to first to the Lord, for sure, but second to the congregation, to the synagogue. This is so great because I think people like to be, we are people, we're human beings, we like to be the nice, you know, environment. We like to be that everything okay with us. We have good clothes or good food and, you know, good place to stay. And many people, I think, they don't thinking about commitment to somewhere, to somebody, and you know, they try to go in places where they have comfortable, you know, place where they are everything nice, no problem. I remember one lady left congregation this time, and she says to me, I left, and I ask, why you left? And she says, I want to go to places where people are going, you know. Majority are going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think people going to zoo.
Yeah.
People going to movie theaters. But really, I think commitment to the Lord, this is so important, so great. So great when you really depend from the Lord and you are committed to congregation,
yeah,
to the family, to mishpacha. You're the one with and this prayer, Shema, it's interesting prayer. God speak to all the people as one. Shema Israel, hear Israel. People, it's not like Shema Moshe, Shema Yaakov, Shema Israel, Shema. He says Shema Israel together, as one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the very important lessons during the Sukkot.
One of the challenges that Sandy and I faced when we were working in the former Soviet Union is we had no real pattern. How do we even understand what to do? And so often we would just cry out to God to show us what to do. And many times He would take us to a scripture that opened things up to us. An example is in Nehemiah 8, verse 25, the whole passage, or 8, verse 2, I'm sorry. And it says, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the Torah before the congregation, which was made up of men and women and everyone who were able to understand. So the first day of the seventh month, do you know what that would be? That's Rosh Hashanah. That's right. So on Rosh Hashanah, these who have returned to Israel, to Jerusalem, they come together, and Ezra brings the Torah. And it says he read it out loud from daybreak until noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand it. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the Torah. Ezra, the teacher of the Torah, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion, and beside him, it names a variety of people, and it says, Ezra opened the scroll, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. So that was their response. As the scroll was opened up, they just were moved, and they stood up. And it says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands. Isn't that interesting? Lift your hands. Just practice that. You know, they lifted their hands. Now, you're going to see this more in a Messianic congregation than in a rabbinic synagogue these days. But you can see something that this was a Jewish response to what was going on. The people lifted their hands and they said, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it says in verse 7 that they explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the scroll, from the Torah of God. They translated it to give the sense so that the people better understood. This is verse 9. Then Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Torah, because they realized how much they had lost, how much they had missed. And then he said to them, Go and eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to the one who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't be grieved, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. And it says, all the people went to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. And then jumping to verse 13, on the second day, it says, they continued, that they might gain insight into the words of the Torah. Verse 14, and they found written in the Torah how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in Sukkot, in booths, during the feast of the seventh month. Okay, so imagine, here they are, and they're discovering this. It's now the second of the month, and they find out there's a holiday you're supposed to celebrate. And it begins to revive them. And so you see something in this, that the Word of God, the Torah, contains in it instruction for revival. That's one thing. And also you see that when people's hearts are open, God starts giving them a desire to do the things that God describes, that He commands even. And so they start making plans. And look at verse 15. They proclaimed and they circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the hills, bring olive branches and wild olive branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of other leafy trees to make Sukkot, as it is written. So here you see that the Sukkot that they're building are built from branches, not tents, you know, not a canvas structure. And so the people went out and brought them, and they made Sukkot for themselves, each on his roof, just like they do in Israel, and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, and so forth. And it says the sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. And there was great rejoicing. He read from the book of the Torah of God every day, from the first day to the last. They celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. So you see this process of revival. One of the ways to get revived is to read the scriptures and to let and to take them to heart. Now, if you read them like they're for somebody else or for some other time, you never respond like this. But when you see, oh, God wants to give me guidance for life, I'm going to do these things, it becomes life to you. And even if they throw you out of the building, it's life. Even if someone builds a sukkah like a triangle, it was with branches. It brings life anyway. So I just love this holiday because I think it's part of the revival and restoration that God has for us. And it's also prophetic. Any thoughts on Zechariah and this prophecy that all the nations are going to come and gather in Jerusalem and celebrate this holiday? It's very interesting, isn't it? A lot of people say, well, if we're going to have to do it later, we should get used to it now. Practice now, right? And interestingly, in the book of John, it says the Jewish holiday, the Feast of Tabernacles. It doesn't say the biblical holiday. It says the Jewish holiday. And I think there's something between that and Zechariah where all the nations of the world are going to have to come to terms with something. If they want to be friends with God, they've got to be friends with Jewish people too. Yeah, if they want to have water, that's right. You want to have rain? Okay. Celebrate Sukkot.
Good deal.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think about it. I want to encourage you to grow in your experience. If you've never built a sukkah at your own home, make plans to build one. If not for the remaining days, then for next year. But I encourage you also, if you can, to go with us. We're going to do a couple more songs, sing a little bit more. Then we're going to go outside to the sukkah that Josh designed and Josh and Jared and some others built and many hands. And we're going to go out there. We're going to take lulav and etrog. We'll give you a little bit of instruction before we go. No, we'll do it there because you won't remember between now and then. I know you. So let's do another song or two, and then we'll make our way out. And everybody who can join us is invited to go out. We're going to try something also. This is an experiment. We're going to go out these doors, lakeside, and we're going to walk down the sidewalk around the building until we get to the sukkah. And then we'll go in there. We'll bring the lulav and etrog. And if you have any flashlights or iPhones with flashlights, bring those too.